On Budget, Public Safety Subcommittee for Thursday, June 30th, 2005, and we are in a work session on Senate Bill 5538, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Budget Bill, and we will also be in a work session on Senate Bill 5540, which is the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Fee Bill. Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, in the work session for Senate Bill 5538, you have some materials that distributed yesterday. If not, they're in front of you. Again, there's a memo and the tables or spreadsheets. Again, we'll be working from both of them. This agency, I think everyone understands its role in training and certifying public safety, law enforcement folks, as well as corrections, emergency dispatchers, parole probation officers, 911 operators. They also provide training to fire personnel across the state. They regulate or they certify or license and in some ways train the private security personnel across the state. And they also are responsible for the Public Safety Memorial Fund. In terms of the changes, I'm not on page 2 of the memo. Between the governor's budget and the budget in front of you today is that after review of the debt service needs and bringing more up-to-date information into the mix, the amount of debt service required for 0507 has been significantly downward adjusted. We also recommend that the proposal to fund this agency with general fund be partially reversed, and we'll get to that in that specific division in the department. In terms of that area, that remains general fund. And finally, there is funding in this budget to expand the basic law enforcement training from 6 weeks, or from 10 weeks to 16 weeks, and also to open the new facility roughly a year from now. The first unit is the Criminal Justice Standards and Training Unit. This budget has increased significantly, but mainly due to the expansion of the basic law enforcement training from 10 to 16 weeks. Should note that there be significant roll-up costs since the training does not expand to that 16-week period until, I believe, it's January 1, 2007, or around that period. Moving to the table, going through the various packages, Package 070, as you've seen in a number of budgets, there are numerous adjustments to the CFAA. This first package in 070 makes reductions, including 17 positions out of this unit, Criminal Justice Standards and Training, but these 17 positions are restored in a later package, in Package 101. It's just part of the budget development process. Package 090 are adjustments that are made in the development of the governor's budget in that stage of the budget development, and that there was a recommendation by the governor to reduce services and supply by a little over $500,000, and that in this budget is continued. I should note that this is one area of difference between the House and the Senate versions of this. The House restores this reduction, but also makes reductions in their 3% cuts to S&S that affect this agency. So there is still some differences in those kinds of cuts. And I will outline the other differences as we go through. The next package, 096, another one of the CFA packages, this is where the governor proposes depositing, as a part of depositing all CFA revenue straight to the general fund. There's a shift here from other funds to general fund. Again, that is reversed in a later package in the terms of the Senate budget plan. 101 restores the 17 positions. There's a small adjustment for PERS. These 17 positions were reduced eliminated in the 070 package. Package 103 deals with the startup costs and the operational increases that are part of the new facility that will be opening in Salem in mid-2000, or about roughly a year from now. In this case, the majority of the package in this division recognizes a reduction of $985,000 that had been part of this division, which represented payments to Western Oregon University for room and board costs. That is reduced here, but is in reality restored in a later package in terms of operating the new facility. Package, and that $985,000 represents that portion of the period that they're at the new facility. Package 104 is the major package in this division or unit. It increases staffing and programming costs from in regard to going from 10 to 16 weeks in the basic police training. There are 26 positions established. These are various kinds of trainer positions, on the most part, tactical trainers, skills trainers, curriculum staff, and basic training classroom staff. I think the director of the agency in his presentation talked about the shift in the direction of the training. As you expand to having greater amount of times, there will be more skills training, more sort of training to the situation, and proportionally less time spent in the classroom as there is for the 10-week class, or a smaller share of time in the terms of the total class. Package 105 continues the traffic safety trainer position that has been funded through the Department of Transportation for the public safety training grant. We recommend approval of that with a small adjustment for PERS. Package 111 are a number of reclass requests, 7 reclasses in this case. They have been approved by DAS, and they are internally financed by shifting services and supplies to personal services. As proposed in the governor's budget. Again, our recommendation is go ahead with those with a small reduction for PERS. 801 is the usual package in our recommendations for the AG and PERS rate adjustments. Package 811, since the time the governor's budget was put together and published, DPSST has been notified that they'll receive a one-year grant from the Department of Homeland Security at the federal level for training various public safety officials in terms of 2 training requirements set out by the Federal Homeland Security Agency. There'll be training provided on a regional basis and basically in terms of responding to disasters or various major incidents that occur. Package 815 is the package that is in our recommendation that switches back to CFA funding for this division. That concludes the numbers for this first division, Criminal Justice Standards. If you return to the memo, there is one budget note. This is a budget note that you've seen in a sort of a slightly different version yesterday in the state police budget, and it basically recognizes that the Oregon State Police will start to participate as part of this the new 16-week course, and it also instructs DPSST to complete this the planning curriculum and fully integrate the state police into that training by January 1, 2007. And they are also to report to the E-Board in the fall of 2006 in the progress in integrating the state police recruit training into the basic DPSST Police Academy training. Like I said, there is a similar budget note in the state police budget. The next unit is the fire training and standard unit. The budget, the governor's budget, grew by almost 90%. From 0305, this was driven mainly by the restoration of positions lost in previous biennia as the fire insurance premium tax stabilized in terms of a funding source. You saw similar increases in the state police for arson investigation as well in the state fire marshal. In terms of restoring some of the lost resources that had been cut during the 0103 biennium and the 0305 biennium. In terms of the table, or the worksheets, package by package, and please stop me if you have any questions. Package 090 reduces the budget for this division based on the savings anticipated from the Smart Buy program. Package 103, this is really a package in this division that recognizes the move to the new location. It increases the mass transit tax for these employees. They're moving from an area outside of a mass transit district to one that's within, and so there is a tax for that purposes that these apply to all the Salem, or employees of state government that are in the Salem area. And also there's an increase in limitation for to recognize their share, the fire training program share of the rent or the costs of operating the new facility. They do pay rent that offsets the need for basically CFAA resources. Package 108, which is at the top of page 10 of 22, establishes five new positions. These are the restoration of positions funded with the fire insurance premium tax. The positions include a fire training coordinators for the metro and northwest area of the state, the southeast area of the state, and the valley. It also includes restoration of a fire certification specialist and a support position to assist in certification, processing certification applications. We recommend that you approve this package with an adjustment for the PERS rate. Package 111 is a package with reclasses. We recommend the approval of the package, but we recommend that the agency provide their own financing for this package. So that is an adjustment to the governor's budget. Package 801 is the general LFO analyst adjustment dealing with the PERS rate and the AG rate adjustments across all state agencies. Madam Chair, I do not have any budget notes or other points in terms of this division. The next division is the private security unit. This is a relatively new function compared to the other functions of the department. There are, I think, over 12,000 private security personnel that the department certifies or licenses. They also have a role in licensing the businesses themselves or the entities themselves. Going back to the tables of the worksheets, package 090 are savings for the Smart Buy program, a small reduction of just over $1,300 in other funds. Package 103, similar to the package in the fire program, represents the recognizing the move to the new facility, increasing the funding to pay for the mass transit tax, as well as increasing limitation here to pay for their share of the what are essentially rent payments to the other parts of the department in terms of using the facility. That offsets the need for CFA funding. There is also package 111, which is a reclass package. Reclasses the program manager. It like the one again in fire, we suggest or recommend the approval of the reclass, but again have the agency internally finance the reclass, so there's not a change in the cost or a change in the expenditure limitation that is different than what the governor proposed. And finally, package 801 is the standard deduction or reductions and adjustments to the PERS rates and the AG rate. The only point, Madam Chair, that I have in this program area or division is to note that there are still discussions going on. The bill is slowly moving through the process that would combine or really consolidate the Board of Investigators' activities and responsibilities into DPSST within the private security unit. That bill is moving through the process, and it may end up being part of the end of session bill by the time we get done.
What is that bill number, Mr. Wilson?
House Bill 2117, Madam Chair.
2117. Thank you.
It is moving to the Senate floor I got an email today saying it was on its way.
I know I did sign off on the fiscal impact statement yesterday, so it should be headed. So that will still be an item that will adjust the budget of this agency. The next division or unit is the Public Safety Memorial Fund. I think everyone understands the role of this fund. I only note that it is very difficult to sort of estimate or project the expenditures in a biennium because you really can't estimate the number of people that are either killed or severely injured in the line of duty in terms of public safety officers. But this is the budget in front of you is what I'll call, you know, the best guess given the situation. It has worked to this point. Going back to the table, package 096, as in the other CFA-funded portions of this budget, the governor did propose to deposit all the CFA revenues into the general fund and fund those programs with general fund. That is in 096, the governor's proposal, and the Senate plan reverses that shift, so it's straight back and shifts it back the other way. So it does remain CFA funded in the recommendations in front of you. Madam Chair, that is the end of the Public Safety Memorial Fund. The next unit is the Admin and Support Services unit. This unit is responsible for the general administration of the agency, the support functions in the agency. It will also become responsible, and the budget will include the operating expenses of the new facility, the room and board costs, landscaping, debt service, and all those operations that are, or all those costs that are part of operating what is roughly a $75 million facility. This budget grows by a significant amount or due to the primary three reasons, increased debt service for the new facility, significantly increased in this budget, operational cost as the new facility comes online, there are operational costs, and the increased food service and housekeeping costs due to the expansion of the basic law enforcement classes from 10 to 16 weeks. All of that rolls in to a significantly higher 05-07 budget, but it also means a significantly high roll-up cost for 07-09, given the timing of the opening of the facility as well as the expansion of the basic law enforcement or police academy from 10 to 16 weeks. On the tables, again, you have in package 070, in terms of the budget development process, four positions and $670,000 are eliminated. Again, these are all restored in package 101 through the process. 090, similar to the criminal justice portion, the first unit or division that was looked at, there is a reduction in services supply in the Senate version of $86,000. This is another difference between the House and Senate. Here, it is in the Senate version, but it's not in the House version, this reduction. But the House does make cuts equal to 3% of SNS that in those services and supply that have been general fund in the governor's budget. Package 096 is the fund shift in CFAA from other funds to general fund. Again, that is partially restored in package 815 or partially reversed, and I'll talk about that when we get to package 815. Package 101 I referred to already. This restores the four positions that were CFA positions eliminated in package 070. Package 102 recognizes that there are need for debt service and financing costs, and in reality, you see a zero value because in the governor's budget, these are financed by a reduction in service and supply items. So it's really a shift of expenditures within the budget, not any type of increase or decrease in the total picture. Package 103 represents the startup cost of the new facility. This is the most one of the two most significant packages in this division. It adds 21 positions as proposed by the governor's budget. It includes those positions necessary to operate the new facility, as well as to expand the capability and capacity of the support staff, the business staff, and other central staff, in recognizing that the budget, as well as the number of employees, as well as the number of students and the responsibility of the agency, is growing. There's also a $90,000 payment per year included in this for payments to Western Oregon University for liquidated damages. It's my understanding that there are ongoing discussions between this agency and Western Oregon University over the lease, the interpretation of the lease, that is basically they are moving from Western Oregon to the new facility and the cost associated with them leaving Western. Those are ongoing discussions. The LFO recommendation recognizes a request by the agency after they reviewed the positions in the governor's budget. As they brought in a facilities manager, the new facilities manager felt that there was a better mix of personnel that would work, and with generally within the budget that had been presented by the governor, they reworked the positions, and as a net result, they're adding one position without a change in the cost. But I will warn you that this will likely result, and I haven't done the math, but it will likely result in a little bit higher roll-up cost next biennium as a result of this change, but it won't be too, if it is an increase, it will not be all that significant. Package 104 is an increase, recognizing the increased needs in the information management area of going to the 16-week course, among other things, but really given the growing sophistication and the workload in this division or in this agency, the thought by the governor, and we concur, that they really do need to look at their information management capacity and start upgrading that capacity to keep up with the growing number of students and the growing complexity of the agency. Package 105 continues three limited duration positions for a portion of the biennium, roughly two-thirds of the biennium through October 2006 is the estimated date that they will be phased out. This is the staff at the agency that is responsible for managing the construction project. Package 111 are a number of reclasses. Again, these are, as proposed by the governor, financed internally by reducing services and supply. They have also been reviewed and approved by the DAS Human Resources Services Division staff. Package 801 are the general all-agency application of the PERS and AG reductions. Package 811, this is a package that updates the need for debt service. It recognizes, based on more up-to-date information than when the budget was put together well over a year ago, that the agency will need roughly $3.4 million less in general funds / CFAA to pay for the debt service. Some of that is carry forward amount available to pay in 05-07, but some of it is just because of different assumptions in the timing and the interest rate payments over the length of the COPs. So you recognize a $3.4 million reduction in general fund need. Package 812 is something that was not anticipated in the governor's budget. The agency and their construction management staff are estimating that they will be able to receive energy savings related rebates at roughly $150,000. The exact amount won't be known for a number of months, but the estimate that's going into the budget is $150,000. Those energy rebate payments will be used to offset other cost of the agency, and represents a decrease in the overall budget in either general fund or CFAA funding. And finally, the last package is the final adjustment to return the funding for a majority of this agency back to CFAA. What happens here is the both co-chairs decided that the debt service for this agency, which is roughly $8.5 million, will be paid with general fund, and the remaining costs will be paid that had been CFA before will continue to be paid with CFA revenues. And so that remains, there will be an $8.5 million general fund budget for this agency, and that represents the debt service cost. Back to the memo, briefly, there is a budget note that instructs the agency to report back to the emergency board in the fall of 2006 on a number of items in terms of curriculum development, excuse me, certain parts of curriculum development as it relates to terrorism, solo officer responses, gang recognition, and use of lethal force in other areas. How the overall project cost and completion of the new facility is going, and the move from Western Oregon University should know more about the discussions going on right now regarding that at that time. And finally, a development of a strategic plan for maximizing training delivery throughout Oregon, both in terms of in enhanced and advanced regional training and the basic academies for all covered disciplines. This budget reflects the expansion from 10 to 16 weeks, but I do know, like the Department of Corrections, I believe would like to add another week to their course at some point in time to enhance the training that they have for their basic or their new employees, as well as I'm sure some of the other areas would have areas they would like to increase the training in too. So this strategic plan is to address those issues.
Very good. Mr. Wilson, I just want to make a note here that as you are preparing the report to the Senate Budget Committee, I would like that report, the pony, to include the text of the language in the budget notes, the two budget notes.
Madam Chair, if it's all right, I will summarize them because they will add, they will double the size of the pony, but I will, or would you like them read into the...
I actually do want them read into the record because I want that full committee to have absolute clarity about on the training piece. There's an expectation that we're going forward with a collaborative effort, and that's a good thing. And I just want to make sure that folks understand what that is, what that's supposed to look like. And then there's some detail in the second budget note that lays out all these different training categories that are going to be developed. And again, I think the committee needs to have full awareness of what each of those categories are about in the future when we move from 16 weeks to something else. We're going to be talking about enhancements, expansion, and again, just want to lay a foundation for the committee so that they're more fully aware of what we're talking about and what it is we're investing, where we're making this investment. And if you'd like to continue.
And I'm sure it might be appropriate time as a conceptual amendment to, in the detail I have, to amend the appropriation bill, which is should be Senate Bill, 5538, the conceptual amendment of our recommendations or any adjustments to that to the bill itself.
I'll accept that motion, Senator Devin.
Yes, madam. I just made that motion.
And there being no further discussion or objection, the motion is adopted.
The next, Madam Chair, the next item on the agenda would be the performance measures. There's a list of them in front of you, I believe. If not, we'll get you a copy. There are five new measures here. And in addition, the joint subcommittee had discussed whether there were measures that could be found that did not depend so much on customer surveys. And it's our recommendation that the report back to the Ways and Means Committee in the next session, the 2007 legislative session, on any identification of any further measures that could replace some of the surveys. I think the director and his staff did talk about the difficulty in sort of finding other measures, but we would encourage them to continue to look, and I know the co-chairs mm-hmm. were interested in that also, but we're not recommending at this time anything specific, and I will be glad to work with the agency during the interim on that endeavor.
Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had one question, actually, and it has to do with one of the existing performance measures. The first performance measure is about average level of officer performance. It's setting the target at 4.0 and 4.0, and it appears that the current performance is at 4.69. Is there a reason why the target's being set lower than the current performance? I mean, you could be changing instruments by which departments rate performance, and that can have an impact on the...
Madam Chair, Senator Devlin, for the record, Eric Gavlix, Deputy Director of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. Our agency has spent quite a bit of time working on our performance measures efforts, if you will. The issue we worked at with how prepared our students are when they leave is based on what we're doing today for training. And what we say by that is that we know right now at 10 weeks, we're not fully developing that student when they leave the academy. We know that we are 6 weeks short, if not more, if you look at what other states are doing. So what we looked at in our survey question is, at what level are they leaving the academy at 10 weeks of training, knowing that they're not fully developed to be an officer? As we go through the 16-week implementation, we will be reviewing that target and ratcheting that target up. But we know right now we're not sending that officer home prepared to go work solo once they leave the academy.
Madam Chair, follow up.
Sir.
So in other words, you will be expecting a higher level of performance from the person being trained than you would have previously, since they're going through 6 weeks of additional training.
Madam Chair, Senator, that's absolutely correct. That's our goal internally as we looked at that goal, is that it would be a skewed question if we asked now, are they prepared to go to work, when we know through our research and data that they're not when they leave the academy. So our goal long-term is to implement not only enhanced questioning, but also targeting that number up.
Madam Chair, if I could continue, mm-hmm. and not to confuse the situation here, I recognize also that you could actually be, in terms of querying law enforcement agencies, you could be using different instruments to query them in the future. You could be asking them more detail about what their performance is. You could be asking them, you know, to rate them on more categories. So you might want to adjust what the performance level would be.
Madam Chair, Senator Devlin, we agree.
Okay.
Senator Devlin's question also raises another question. Again, just seeking clarity here. Looking at that first performance measure, successful completion is defined as what? I'm not recalling right now our the testimony record.
Madam Chair, completion is completing the academy of the current 10-week course. We look at our internal numbers. For example, we send students home when they don't meet academic standards. We also send students home when they commit a zero tolerance harassment. So we're looking at how many students come in and how many of them complete the course. Then there's multiple layers of that question that continue. For example, Senator Devlin's question, how prepared are they going to work? That's actually one of 11 questions that we ask. You know, are they prepared ethically? Are they prepared to know the law? So really they all kind of come together, but to get to performance measures is kind of hard because you have to split them out as well.
That answers the
okay.
question.
Thank you.
Very well.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, in addition, I think you'll see some significant changes in the form and style of the basic mm-hmm. training program as we migrate from 10 to 16 weeks and move to the new campus. We're actually in the process of instituting some new disciplinary measures that are probably a little bit more oriented towards what you might find in a military academy, relevant to, you know, gigs and other kinds of points that they might achieve that would ultimately result in discipline or dismissal from the academy. In addition to that, the message that we've been sending to chiefs and sheriffs throughout the state of Oregon is that we intend to strictly enforce our student guide rules of conduct, and since I've been there, we've dismissed a number of students from the academy for violations of various rules, zero tolerance issues, and have tried to get that message reinforced with chiefs and sheriffs. We've met with, quite frankly, a great degree of success with the chiefs and sheriffs because they likewise support the migration to a new form and style. So I think relevant to this measurement, you'll see potentially more people failing the police academy than you have in the past. In addition to that, we're also moving into a potential pre-qualification or entrance standards into the academy dealing with the Oregon Physical Agilities Test. We're currently dialoguing and discussing issues relevant to an entrance examination or some level at which people must attain a level of competency in areas like criminal law, criminal procedure, with the assistance of the agency sending out packets of material before they actually show up at the academy to enhance the amount of training that we can do within the 16-week period. So I think what you'll see happening is an expansion of and larger expectations of performance within the academy, so the failure rate may in fact be a little bit higher.
That's very helpful. Senator Devlin?
But another way to say that, Mr. Menas, would be to advance qualified candidates out of the academy and weed out people that probably shouldn't be going on earlier in the process than when they actually get out on the street.
Madam Chair and Senator Devlin, I think that that's accurate in two different specific areas. One would be in terms of their understanding of criminal law issues, constitutional issues that are germane to the decision-making that they'll make in the field. The other issue is relevant to their physical fitness, or what we're calling work fitness, their ability to perform on the job, going from a reasonably sedentary job to something that may require the use of deadly physical force or a fairly active intervention. So we are trying to encourage people to both perform in the physical arena and in the academic arena. And in addition to that, we're working as best we can with the resources we have to expand and encourage individuals to continue their training and or education post-basic training, too.
Very good. Before I take the final motion, Director Menas, is there anything that you want to put on to the record reflecting the budget or any outstanding concerns as we go forward?
Madam Chair, I do think it would be appropriate for me to say just a couple of things that were mentioned in the House committee that I think are concerns, and I think it's adequately covered with respect to the ability for the agency to come and present to the emergency board. I do think that there are a lot of things that we simply don't know about how this new facility is going to operate or function and run. So many of the additions of employees to various functions are our best guess. They're hypothetical, and we're certainly hoping that we're on target and we're doing well. But there are a lot of things that we just simply don't know. So once we get into the facility, we'll have better information, and we can tell you whether things are going well or not. There are a couple of issues that have arisen that the agency needs to pay attention to. We have a 22-acre wetland, which is the largest wetland of any state entity in the state of Oregon, which is a huge obligation, for which there's a lot of regulatory work that has to be done. About a two-year period of time within which all of the plants and the various vegetation around that site have to be watered and cared for so that they don't die. And there are other state agencies that require us to report on the success of that wetlands. So it's an area that within our budget it's not funded. It's a new obligation for us. We're not necessarily familiar with it, but we are trying to hire away people from Western Oregon University as fast as we can that have experience in those kind of areas. We've been somewhat successful. So they're just little areas that I think we need to pay attention to. Inmate labor for various maintenance around the facility, or student labor issues, which we're very much used to having student labor at Western Oregon University. We don't have that built into our budget. at the new facility. So there are some areas that I think we're going to want to be able to report back to you on. The other thing is the discussion with respect to Western Oregon University. I'll make it clear to the committee today, I received a communication from Western Oregon University yesterday, which is in essence is a bill for about $91,087, which they've decided that we owe them with respect to how they calculate student weeks. It came to me late yesterday afternoon, and I believe is the result of the new finance administration vice president at the university's interpretation of our lease. So there are a number of issues that have arisen. This is the new one, but prior to this and at the House committee when they presented their budget, we also mentioned that Mr. Weiss has also interpreted the at least based on his interpretation, that we owe them an additional $1 million per year in addition to liquidated damages. We frankly disagree with that, and my position as the director of the agency is we're not going to pay one dime more than what we've assumed in the budget. However, we have asked that individuals with more power than us come to the table and see if we can mitigate the situation and hopefully come to some kind of an amicable settlement. Yep, those discussions are hopefully ongoing soon.
Very good. Well, we will definitely capture all of that onto the record. Senator Devlin?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 5538 to the Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation, including all LFO recommendations, and also including the performance measures.
And hearing no further discussion or objection, that motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, my apology to the senators for the wording in the Senate memo that still included the term House in that motion.
We
was in our hurry to cheat and not cheat, but use as much existing language as we can.
We fully understand the double duty.
Madam Chair, there have been senators that have called for a call of the House on the Senate floor.
That's
so
true.
They sometimes make them.
Mr. Wilson, it just makes us appreciate your hard work even more. So let's go on to the work session on Senate Bill 5540.
Madam Chair, you do not have a copy of 5540, I guess, in front of us, unless there is in the pack, but it is one of the blank bills. This is the amendment. It is an amendment that replaces the entire bill, and what it does is the original bill presented through the joint process had a number, has a number of fee increases in the private security program. Since that bill was drafted, the agency has determined that they really don't need those fee increases and they will not pass them. But in terms of, they identified one relatively small fee in terms of the number of people that utilize it that did need ratification through this process, and that is a fee for retired police officer certification program. And the amendment in front of you, which is actually a conceptual amendment, it was the one that used in the House bill that will convert to fit the Senate bill, is the amendment that you need.
Senator Devlin?
Madam Chair, we're in work session.
Yes, we are.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move a conceptual amendment to Senate Bill 5540 as presented to us in LC 9140.
If there's no further discussion or objection, that motion is adopted. Are we
done?
Well,
I move the conceptual amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, now I need to do the due pass. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 5540 to the Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
And hearing
as conceptual amendment.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. And hearing no further discussion or objection, that motion is adopted. And Mr. Wilson, is there anything else for the...
I do need carriers on both of these bills' names.
I'll carry both of them.
And Madam Chair, I think that concludes the work that is on the agenda for today. And I believe this is the last budget for you to pass out of this subcommittee that at least was on the schedule to this point.
All right.
We still have, at least a couple of policy bills awaiting consideration.
Right. Well, we are adjourned. And again, Director Menace, thank you. Thank all of those who work with you back at the department. Thank you.
Thank you.
And congratulations.